that last verse there, so send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see. You know, not everybody wants it. And you think of that thought, everyone needs it. But not every heart is inclined toward it, and sometimes it is a long process of prayer and sowing and watering and watering and watering before a person will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes hearts are prepared and ready. Usually if a heart is prepared and ready, it's because someone has already done some sowing and some watering and some praying along the way. And boy, we need that. And unfortunately, where we ought to be doing more praying, sometimes we look and say, well, will more programs bring in more people, or will different methods, we've got to change up the methods, or less holiness, or whatever it may be, to accomplish the results, when really we ought to be on our knees more and let God do the work. Acts chapter 13 tonight, looking at the biblical idea of ordination. In some places it is called ordination, in some places it is called laying on of the hands. The first idea of a church sending out someone to go and preach the gospel elsewhere, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, telling his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we know that that commission is given to every church. Every body of believers is to go out and preach the gospel, and they are to preach it, and they are to baptize those that get saved. And then once a person gets saved and baptized, that's not the end. That is the beginning of then teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And so don't want to stop at salvation. We don't want to stop at baptism. We want to stop when about time they go to heaven. That's when it stops. And so we look at that idea, and that being sent out as Jesus, basically his last statement in the book of Acts before he ascended back up was preach the gospel, you know, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Of course, every individual can't do all of those. So churches do that. And they do that by locally starting out, giving that light locally. And then saying, okay, now let's expand that however we can, through missions, through sending people out of your own church, if you have them to send out. And so ordination, verse chapter 13, verse 1 through 5. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Let's pray. We'll look at the scripture tonight. Father, I ask that you would help us. God, I pray for Nathaniel. I pray for him. I pray for his family. God, it is our joy to send him out from our church to go preach the gospel in Alaska, to different villages, to different places along there. But God, to send him out right now to churches, and as he gains support, God, that he would be a blessing to those churches. And God, that he would represent you first and foremost in his life. God, I pray that you would help us tonight as we look at ordaining him for the ministry. I ask, God, that you would just put your hand upon him and keep him and help him. And Lord, take these scriptures. And God, may they be an encouragement to him, and may they be guidance for our church. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. ordination is based, first of all, upon a call. It says in verse chapter 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, so they're serving, the church is serving, the church is operating, the church is working. This church is functioning, the church of Antioch, as they ought to function. They're praying, they're fasting, they're out there witnessing. They have a church that is, if you will, a vibrant, dynamic church in that area of Antioch. And the Holy Spirit says to them, as they're in the process of doing everything that they do, he says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So we have here a call, and ordination is based upon a call. A person is called by God. A person cannot be called by their parents. A person cannot be called by their preachers. A preacher can never walk up and just say, hey, you're called to the ministry. That would be a very dangerous thing. For a parent to say, hey, you know what, you're called to the ministry. This has to be something that the person understands first and foremost. This is from God. This is what God has laid on my heart. Because God will go with them to the uttermost parts of the earth. God will go with them to the end of the world. That means the end of time as we know it. God will go with them. Parents won't be there. Even honestly, the sending church and the preacher, they are holding the ropes back here, but they're not going to be there. And if a person goes, being parent called or preacher called or whatever that may be, once they get there and when the going gets tough, that's going to be a real hard situation. But when Jesus goes with and he calls them and he says, lo, I am with you always, and he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, then when you get there in any situation, you know, look, God called me, God put me here, and I'll be here until God calls me or moves me elsewhere. And so it is the call of God. John chapter 15 and verse 16 says this, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. God wants fruit, and he says here that he has ordained them to go out and to bring forth fruit. Now, we do not get to determine necessarily the yield. What we do determine is the sowing. That is based upon what we do. Sowing is done in a multitude of ways. It can be door knocking. It can be handing out gospel tracts. It can be giving out flyers. It can be personal witnessing. Whatever it may be, seed is sown. All we can do is determine that we're going to sow seed. And that we're going to go back and try our best to water that seed. The yield is dependent upon God. And so we don't go, we cannot become, as we're sent out in the call of God, we do not get result-orientated. If we get result-orientated, there's a whole lot of people I know that are faithfully serving God and doing their very best on hard fields in this world, and if they were result-orientated, they'd have quit a long time ago. You go because it's a call of God. Ordination is also based upon agreement. Verse 3 says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So the church is in agreement, and they get the same sense of the call upon the person's life that God gives to the person. A person, you know, somebody can walk up and they can say, hey, God called me to do this. I want the church to send me out. Well, the church needs to recognize the call of God upon a person. Not everybody that claims to be called is necessarily called. What do we notice in verse 1? There were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, and as they ministered to the Lord. So you've got here several men, and God really could have called probably any one of these men that were listed in verse 1. These were people that were faithfully serving in the church, and as they were ministering in their local church, as they were being involved in the ministries of the local church, God said, now I have a call, and I want to call you to another ministry and another purpose. And so they recognize that. Now, a person only attends church on Sunday morning. They never come on a Sunday night. They're never involved in a ministry. They won't go out and help in a nursing home ministry. They won't go out and help in a bus ministry. They won't go out and help in anything else. They won't even show up to help maybe clean in a church building or, you know, whatever needs done around the work of the local church. They don't go out door knocking. Don't go out soul winning. And that person walks up and says, you know what? God's called me to be a missionary to... We're going to, as a church, we're going to look and say, I think you kind of need to prove the call. Because the church, it has to be in agreement with the call. This is not a rogue individual just going out and doing whatever. This is a church-based thing. So the church needs to see fruit and evidence of a call upon the person. And that evidence, and as we look at Nathaniel tonight, Nathaniel has been here. He went through 4 years of institute training, sat in class for nearly 400 hours, took tests, went through all of that. Othniel was even in some of those classes, both before and after he was born. But you know what? And he did that. And while he was doing that, he was involved in the church ministries. He was involved in the bus route. He was involved in door knocking. He was around the church doing things in the ministry of the church. And I fully believe it was not hard when he said, I believe God's calling me to Alaska. It was not hard for me to say, you know what? He's proven. He has demonstrated that he has ministered first in his local church. He has been a blessing and a part here. He taught the teen Sunday school class for I don't know how long. But he's worked. He's proven that. And so the church then ordains them based upon agreement. But ordination is then confirmed by the laying on of hands. In verse 3 it says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And so they were called, they sent them out, they laid their hands on them, and that laying on of hands is they're getting around him, they're praying for him, they're praying for God to work through him as he goes out to work in the ministry that God has called him to do. And then ultimately, they were sent forth by who in verse 4? By the Holy Ghost. Now, the church sent them, but you know what? How much contact all the way along did the church have with Paul and Barnabas? No cell phones, no email. Probably not a lot. You know what? We're not all going to Alaska. He has to be directed by the Holy Spirit of God. But you sent them out from the local church, under the authority of the local church, with the local church standing behind them, but he goes out to serve God under the direction of the Spirit of God. I had one church that described this thing and says, well, the missionary is no more than just like a person going out from the church to work in a nursing home. I'm like, you've lost your mind. You're out there wherever it may be on the other side of the world or wherever you may be planting churches and evangelizing and all of that, and you don't have any clue. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I called my pastor. You talk to him. He's like, well, you're the one that's there. And he may call at some point in time and say, you know, hey, pastor, I want to talk about this situation that's going on up here. And I'm like, what am I going to say? I mean, we can guide with Bible principles and all of that, but ultimately, look, it's your ministry at this point in time. And it's got to be guided by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit of God, because you're sent forth by the Holy Spirit of God. Ordination is also based upon qualification. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 1 through 7 have the qualifications of a pastor. So we're going to go 1 Timothy and then Titus 1. And 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7 says this. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, yet lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And so here are some qualifications that are listed out. There is qualifications that are simply one word. There is one qualification that is expounded upon more than the others. It does not mean that it is a higher qualification. It just says more about it. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And by the way, when you see the word rule and the word take care of there, it is not ruling like a king with an iron fist. It's take care of. The idea of ruling, yes, it's guidance. Yes, it's control. Yes, it's everything the way up. But it says rule his own house, take care of the church of God. So those are interchangeable things, and it gives a context to what that rule looks like. Man's got to care for his own family. And if he can't care for his own family, he's not going to care for the church. And if a man doesn't put time into his own family, an effort into his own children, an effort into his own wife, then he's not really going to care for the church. And so it's not just having the children sit, stand, do 10 push-ups, whatever it is. It's not just obedience. It's the overall care of that family. And then the idea of the novice. Boy, young people can, you know, they get to having some knowledge, and boy, their nose can go up, and they can get the idea that I'm smarter than everybody else in the room, and I'm educated. I sat 400 hours at Institute. Man, I know something. I think if you're under proper Institute training, the more you know, the less you know. The more you know, the more you know how much you don't know. And the longer we go in this, I have one thing. I have absolute confidence in the Word of God. But as you go to the Word of God and somebody comes to you and they ask you a question about Revelation, or they ask you a question and it's like, you know what? I know what's in the Word of God. I know what it says. Sometimes I don't always know what it means. And about the time somebody comes along and says they know everything about what it means, yeah. And look, sometimes God turns the light on for somebody. And he hadn't turned that light on. Well, look, God turns the light on, share it! That's what preaching is about. It's what teaching is about. You get with God, the light comes on, share it. God gave this light to me. I'm something special. Oh, pride has no place in the ministry. Pride has no place. And so the idea, look, these guys,
when a person has served in some different ministries in the church and they've seen the hard knocks and they've had their ups and they've had their downs and they've been through and seen the good and the bad and the ugly, then that person has enough humility to understand, I'm not going to go out there and do this in my own power because it can't happen. And I'm not God's gift to the world. And God's work can still go on even if I'm not here. And so a little bit of time in the ministry in the local church takes away the novice-ness out of things. Titus chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. And we're not preaching the entirety of the qualifications tonight, but Titus chapter 1, verse 5 through 9 says this, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." And then he gives the qualifications for ordaining those elders, "If any be blameless, again, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer." Once again, I want to remind you that sound doctrine is used, I believe, four times in the scriptures, and every time it is connected with the living. It is not just connected with the virgin birth or the deity of Christ and those things. Right here, we've got a whole pattern of living. And then it says that they may convince by sound doctrine the gainsayers. Look, the message preached is helped by the life lived. And when you're wanting to convince someone, it helps to have a testimony behind the convincing. And so the ordination is based upon qualification. If a person comes along, the man that, and I'm not going to go into the details, but he just said, the man that come and helped with the carpet, he made the statement. He says, "You know what? I can't be a pastor. I can't be an evangelist, because there's some things in my past that I'm not qualified for that." And he was fine about that. And he readily acknowledged that. He says, "Look, I'm just going to do what I can do to serve God." And he's living in kind of a retirement level. And he's like, "I just want to go and be a blessing." And by him coming and helping us to put the carpet in, he saved the church thousands of dollars. We gave him a love offering. You know, not everybody is qualified to be ordained to the ministry, but everybody can serve God somehow. And we need to understand the difference. A person comes along and says, "You know what? I know I've been divorced, but God's calling me to the ministry." No. No. Or a person comes along and says, "I know I'm a woman, but God's calling me to the ministry." Some people know that. And you look at it and it's like, since when did you become the husband of one wife? I know we live in a weird world, but God has some qualifications. And those qualifications are there for a reason. And so we look at that and understand that you don't ordain someone based upon just what they say. There has to be qualifications for those, for being going into the ministry. And a person, just so you know and we understand, a person can be called and they can be serving God, and if they break the qualifications, guess what? They're retracted from that ordination. And, well, I lost my family, but I'm still called. No. Or my wife left me, but I'm still called. No. I'm not saying you can't serve God. God loves us. God forgives us. And God can make us useful. And there's things you can do. But ordination is based upon qualification. Then ordination is not hasty. 1 Timothy 5:22. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22. It says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other man's sins, keep thyself pure. The idea there, lay hands suddenly on no man, is talking about ordination. So he goes down through there, he's saying, look, Timothy, I'm just going to give you some shotgun things right here. And one of those things is, don't be over hasty to ordain someone. If there's questions, just wait a while. You know, the work of God's going to continue. And by the way, as you're raising support, the people of Alaska will still be there. And the ministry will still be there. I went undersupported, and I try not to let other people, and I try to encourage other missionaries, make sure you get what you need. Because we can get in an all-fire hurry. Man, the cause of Christ demands that I get there now. You know, if you go unprepared, you're going to be hindered down the road. And so, but the idea here, lay hands suddenly on no man, is just simply, ordination is not to be hasty. You know, somebody brand new comes into church, and they've been there for 6 months, and everything seems really good, and, well, I believe God's called me, I want to be sent out. Well, we probably ought to watch for a while. Now, that may be the case. You may be called, and we may send you out, but we're probably not going to make that decision only having known you for 6 months. There's a proving time. It's not just, hey, let's do this. You know, I think we can be over hasty sometimes, you know, to put people in positions, to put people in as teachers, to put, you know, and you can do that within the church as well. There's areas where anybody can serve. But we have some qualifications even for ministry in our local church. And part of that is, let's just not be over hasty in throwing people into positions that they're not ready for. And then ordination, and this here we shift, this has been mostly church setting, and this shifts over more to Nathaniel, in this case it was Timothy here. 1 Timothy 4:14, ordination is not something that is to be neglected. It says this, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6 says this, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So Timothy had been ordained. Timothy is a relatively young person compared to Paul. We don't know how young he was. But he's a relatively young person. Paul writes to him, says, let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example. And you notice when he said, let no man despise thy youth, he told him, be an example. He didn't say, you have more knowledge. He didn't say, you have more book learning than everybody else and you can argue around anything. No, he said, look, go out there and be an example. But twice he says to Timothy, he says, you've been ordained by the laying on of hands. He says, don't neglect the gift given to you by God, the call of God upon you. And guess what? It takes some stirring up from time to time. Anybody that's a Sunday school teacher, how many have taught Sunday school at some point in time in their life for more than 5 years? Okay, so do every Sunday morning you feel like it? Anybody here that's just been every Sunday morning, you've been, well, I'm ready. I'm excited about my class. You know what? It has to be stirred up, doesn't it? And you talk to any preacher, you know what? There's some Sundays you just don't feel like it. But you know what? People didn't come to church to see you. I don't feel like it. And you better come with a message. And that message needs to be biblical. And it ought to mean something to you first. And if it means something to you first, then it'll mean something to everybody else. But boy, you got to keep that stirred up. And as you get on in the ministry and you go on and look, you get excited about it. And you're up there and Alaska's brand new, and you're going out to this brand new village, and you're going out to this brand new village, you're going out to this brand new village, and you go out there, boy, God's going to work, and I'm excited about that. And you go back to that village, 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 and you got to stir it back up. You got a message. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. You've got the book. You've got the message. God wants the message delivered. Boy, you got to stay on top of it. You got to stay with it. Because it is easy, easy, easy to get discouraged in the ministry. And both, we got 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, two different letters written to this young man. Don't neglect that. Stir it up. Hey, Timothy, keep on going. And I don't know whether the Apostle Paul's writing this with the sense that this is happening. I understand it's the Word of God. It's exactly what God told him to write. And he wrote the words. And we do believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Scriptures. And that's true. And we know that. But is this written with that sense that, you know, Timothy was struggling? Stir it up. Sometimes to stir it up, you just got to get in the book and read more. Sometimes you might listen to 5 messages in a row from somebody preaching. It'll stir up. You should go out there. You spend some extra time with God. It'll stir up. It'll stir up. So ordination is not to be neglected, and then ordination has a purpose. 2 Timothy 2:2. It says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. It says, you take what I've given you, you commit it to faithful who? Men. Oftentimes, men are the hardest people to reach. But they are the most effective at then influencing others. And, you know, as missionaries, as churches, you know, we have children's ministries. Sometimes there's ladies' ministries or this, that, and another thing. But churches need men. And ultimately, men, when you pass on the Word of God to men who are willing to receive it, and those men will take it and hold on to it, they're the ones that can teach others also. Nothing wrong with teaching women. Nothing wrong with teaching children. But men need to be taught. And ultimately, who are we going to ordain? Men. Men. Teaching can often start with children. You're growing young men and teenagers and on up. But the purpose is this. You're going to grow old. I'm already there. You're passing it on to other people that can pass it on to other people. Generations have to keep this going. Acts 1:22 says, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Here where they were choosing the next apostle. And I believe, you know, they chose Matthias. Paul says that he was an apostle. The city of New Jerusalem only has 12 gates. I believe Paul was the one that God chose. But I think the church body had the right to choose Matthias and appoint him to that position. But there's not 13 gates in the New Jerusalem with the apostles' names on them, or foundations, or however it works. So, what was the thing that they were saying? Ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Now, obviously, they're looking at somebody that visibly saw the resurrection. They're going to go out and tell about the resurrection. But when you get saved, you have believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you're going to be a witness of the resurrection. Jesus is alive. He died for you, but he rose again. He's up there in heaven. He wants to be your advocate. He wants to be your interceder. He is your mediator. He is the mediator between God and man. God wants all men to be saved, and he's established a mediator for that purpose. And so the purpose of ordination is go out and be a witness. Go out and give the gospel. Tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Acts 14:23, it says, when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. The ultimate goal, as the Apostle Paul went to a place, was to preach the word of God and establish there a church and ordain elders in that church. That takes time. Now, it was moving rather rapidly under the Apostle Paul. He didn't stay real long in any one place, but it does take time. You're going to start a church, turn it over, you got to have somebody to ordain. And I'll tell you, if you look at missionaries and you watch missionary prayer letters over the course of time, they get a church going. What's the need? National men to take over the work. What's the hardest part? The hardest part is not necessarily establishing the church. The hardest part is being able to step away from it and move on. And a lot of the reason of that hardship is you have to have somebody to ordain to be in that church. And so the purpose of ordination is get out there and witness and establish churches. In our church, as far as missions goes, we're looking at church planting missionaries. That's our goal. Evangelists have their purpose and their work, and I understand the definitions that we use today and the definitions in the Bible are not necessarily the same. But our church, as a general rule, we don't support evangelists that are going around preaching to churches. Our goal is to support church planting missionaries. I know that sometimes ladies are out helping and they're trying to go raise support. We don't support ladies. It's just we don't do that. Why? Well, we're supporting church planting missionaries. Now, if a missionary says, We need this person here to effectually help in our ministry, raise enough support to pay them. And I don't have a problem with that. But the purpose is churches get started. Churches get started. And we're not sitting here as a church. We expect one every 3 years. Pump them out there, buddy. But that is the goal. It's the purpose. Now, how does that take place? You evangelize. You baptize. You teach. All things whatsoever I have commanded you. Then you get some faithful men and you teach them. And eventually you bring them to the point of ordination and they can take over a church that gets started. So this is what ordination's about. And Nathaniel has been here proving himself in this ministry. And it's our joy and pleasure. The questions yesterday were a bit of just a test of things. I told him at the beginning of the questioning yesterday, I am not as concerned with your level of knowledge as with your commitment to stand and earnestly contend for the faith. Knowledge can grow. You know, I went through Bible college, and it wasn't till a couple years after Bible college that I came to the realization that these and thous are singular and ye's and yours are plural. And the bottom line is I felt gypped when that took place. I don't know why I was never taught that. Never heard it all my life growing up. Went through Bible college. It was never said. I did not sleep through classes. All right, Jonathan? Look, it is not, but it's like we're continuing to grow. We're continuing to learn. But I'll tell you what, now that I've learned it, I understand the importance of that being in the King James Bible. And I understand it's different from just saying you all the way through. And there's significance to that. And now that I understand it, I'm not budging on it. And so he'll grow. He'll get more information. He'll gain more knowledge. The thing is, will you stand on what you know? Will you stand on the Word of God? And as we come to the ordination, that's the challenge that every person is going to have to face. Because it's not getting easier. It's not getting easier. And I guarantee there's some churches out there that are going to be financially supporting you that are going to be results oriented. Did you have 50 baptisms at least this year? So some of these villages only have 50 people in them. That'd be good revival, wouldn't it? Everybody got saved and baptized, right? Oh, you just stay with it and do the right thing and stick to the truth of the Word of God, and you'll be okay. So tonight we're going to do a little bit different. We're going to have an invitation as such, but I would like to at this time, I'd like to have Nathaniel come up here, and I'd like to have the deacons and assistant, you come up here, and we're going to lay hands on Nathaniel. Now, I know that that has two meanings. This is the ordination meaning, okay? And we want to just take some time and pray over Nathaniel and pray for him, pray for his family. Now, I've thought about this. Tonight, we're going to go have cake and ice cream afterwards. When we actually send him off to Alaska, I do believe, and we're not going to say how many will fast and pray, but I do believe when we do send him out to Alaska, that a time of fasting and prayer would be in order. And I intend to just announce that. We aren't going to ask fastings to be done in private. We aren't going to ask how many will do it or anything like that. But as a church, we will do that. So let's have Nathaniel, you just come right here. Men, just gather around and place hands upon him. And we're going to pray. And so I'm going to ask Brother Lane, would you lead in prayer? And then men, just pray individually as you would for different areas and aspects of what needs prayed for tonight.
Most gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, as we come to this point of our service tonight, Lord, as we send forth this young man and his family, Lord, we just pray that your hand will always be upon him, that you'll always be instructing him, Lord, that you'll provide for his needs and for the needs of his family. We just pray that your spirit will be upon him and that, Lord, that he will go from here and boldly speak the word to those that he comes in contact with. Lord, we just pray for you to guide him, direct him, to through each and everything, Lord, that's part of this. We just ask this, Lord, in thy name. Amen.
We say amen to everything that Brother Kevin has prayed tonight, Lord. We just pray for Nathaniel and his family, Lord, as he goes out and to spread the gospel, to spread the light. Help him to realize, and I know that he does realize, that all our righteousness are filthy rags. And we're totally reliant upon you. We just pray that you would be with him as he goes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Father, as we're praying here this evening for Nathaniel, just pray you would give him the wisdom he needs as he goes to Alaska. As he deals with the very spiritually dark people up there. Just give him the words, the wisdom he needs as he just learns how to deal with that. It's something we don't really understand very here, and very much here.
Amen. God, we do thank you for Nathaniel and his answering your call, and God, we're grateful that we get to send him. God, we just ask that you would protect him. The devil wants to destroy him and discredit him, and God, we just ask that you would put your hands around him and God, keep him humble before you, that he wouldn't, we know that pride goeth before destruction, and God, we don't want to see that, and God, we know that you don't want to see him destroyed either, and pray that you just strengthen him and help him to guide his family and just to keep them, God, just protect him and his family as they go, and bless him as he follows you and obeys you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Lord, as we continue in prayer tonight, Lord, we do thank you for the call that you've placed upon Nathaniel. Lord, that you would strengthen and guide and direct him as he goes. And yes, as it's been mentioned, Lord, with his family, Lord, as he gets there into a place that's unfamiliar, but yet it is somewhat familiar. Lord, as he's raising his family there, Lord, I just pray that you would strengthen him and you would guide him as he goes out to the different villages, Lord, just keep him from temptation. We know Satan's going to try many different things to him and his family, Lord. Pray that you would just help him to see that in thinking his mind, I need to continue to follow God no matter what. Lord, I just pray that you would strengthen and guide and direct him and his family as they go. Lord, and even for the family members that are going to be here, that's going to be left, help us to be able to and help them to pray for him and his family, to give him strength and direction. Lord, as temptations arise, Lord, you just strengthen him and help him with it and his family, and just pray that your will would be done. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Father, we ask that you'd be with Nathaniel and Amanda and the family as they travel. Lord, they have miles to go as they're raising support. Lord, we pray that you'd protect them on the road and help them with this time. We're glad to hear that they have a fall of 2025 goal to be on the field. We pray that you'd help that to work out, Lord, and that you'd help them to gain the support they need for that. Lord, we pray that you would help. We just pray that you would give Nathaniel that unction, that strength of preaching, Lord, and help him, Lord, as he preaches, to know that you are giving him the words, and you, by your Spirit, are working through the message, and, Lord, that he'd realize that it's not just him standing there in his own strength, but that, Lord, you're working through him. We pray that you would help him as he preaches in the churches while on deputation, but, Lord, that he would know that you're going to help him as he preaches to the people of Alaska. Lord, we just ask that you would empower him and strengthen him and help him to have great Help him, Lord, to have a great fruit for his labor there in that place. We pray this in Jesus' name.
And Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to be a sending church for Nathaniel. God, I ask that you would help him. Lord, he has your word. God, I pray that you'd give him boldness with it. Father, I pray that as he's out there, that he would never doubt your word. God, I pray that you would help him to realize that anything that's going to be accomplished for you has to be accomplished through you. God, give him, as he goes there, the spirit of prayer. God, that seeking you, that seeking your direction, that seeking your guidance, that God, as he delivers the messages and as he takes the gospel out, God, that he'll never forget that it's you that's going to produce the results and produce the fruit. And God, I pray that you would just empower him. Father, keep his heart and life. God, keep him clean, keep him effective. God, may he be a vessel of honor to you. God, protect him. Father, there are different dangers there that he'll have to learn and know and understand. God, I pray that you protect him, protect his family. And God, may people come to know you and there be eternal fruit. God, may churches be started. Father, over the course of time, may elders be ordained. And God, may your work be accomplished and may you be glorified in all of it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Nathaniel, we have a certificate of ordination. It's even got signatures on it. So I want to give that to you. And we'll go ahead. If you could, men, just stand around, we'll get a picture just there. All right. Okay, we got those. And we are glad. We're glad. And we need to be praying for them right now for support to be raised, safety as they travel, effective meetings. And then we need to be behind them as they go to the field. And there will be needs and different things that come up. And it's a responsibility as well. But ultimately, God's in charge. And we step away and we turn them over to God. And God can keep them better than we ever could. So, all right. So at this time, we will go ahead downstairs. We'll have a time of fellowship and refreshment. And we hope that all of you can join us down there. And we'll just finish up with that. We're going to go down there. And if I could get all the men to stand behind the table, and we'll get a picture of him with the cake down there as well. So, all right, you can be dismissed and head on downstairs for some cake and ice cream.